I was like, 30 minutes. Don't think about it too hard. Just do 30 minutes. It passes really quick.
And I'm recovering from multiple surgeries. I'm settling into my new house.
Excuse number two.
I had a glass of wine.
You're probably right, Ben.
Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again. I'm Rachel Tipton, mom, realtor, and creator of The Closing Curve.
And I'm Gina Tremarco, founder and sales trainer at Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv. Hey, Rach, how's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I started my morning... I'm trying to create these new routines. I started my morning walking on the beach with the dogs.
That's a great morning routine. And I'm sure that we have touched on how important morning routines are.
I'm trying to get better at some of these things and setting intentions for the day and following through on stuff. And I have a tendency to make excuses. This is all segue into our topic today, by the way. I have a tendency to make excuses for my morning routine because of the dogs. Because they wake me up and they're like, we want to go out. We want to eat. We want to. And I do everything for them first, which I'm sure anybody with a morning responsibility like children or dogs or spouses or whatever can relate to. And I make it all about them. And then by the time I get done with all that, I'm like, oh, forget it. I guess I better go to work. And I don't do something for me. So today I'm like, guess what, dogs? We're going to do this my way. We're going to the beach for your walk. I'm making coffee before we leave. We're going to settle into the morning because they're super hyper about like, let's go, let's go, let's go. And I'm like, no. Today you're going to wait. You're going to hold it and you're going to wait. And I made my coffee and then I took them out and we went to the beach for our walk and for my coffee.
I just want to point out how blessed Gina is to live right now about a block or so from the ocean, that she has the luxury of doing that. That's a huge, huge blessing that I'm sure there's one of our Warners out there that just wishes they could do that. In fact, I do too. And I live close to the beach, but I don't live within walking distance.
Yeah, it's amazing. I can literally see the beach from my porch. Like, it's four houses. Super blessed. We're the fourth house in from like the boulevard. Where the ocean is.
Okay, Warners, who's in for a party at Gina's house? Well, it is super important to, and this is off topic of what we're about to get into, but it's so important to start your day out right. Because think about it this way, the way that probably a lot of the population gets out of bed. The alarm goes off, you go, hit snooze, maybe multiple times, and then you're just like dragging yourself out of bed and dragging yourself into your day. Now, if that's how you begin, then how are you supposed to break that pattern for the rest of the day? So just think about that when you think about your own morning routine out there. Anybody who's listening, like, and I love the mornings so much, and I will get up as early as I need to so that I can be awake before everybody. So I can make a cup of coffee, and sometimes I just sit and meditate or put my feet in my amazing foot massager or write in my journal or do some creative writing because that's my best time of day. But I like to set myself up for the day, and I get really frustrated when I have one of those mornings that most people have when you're like, hit the alarm and you got to be in a rush. I just hate that so much.
I do.
It's no fun.
I do too. I like kind of rolling slowly out. I don't like chaos at all at any time of the day. Chaos really stresses me out.
So how's the writing of your book going, Gina?
Okay, it's like I knew that this question was going to come up today. And I debated. I'm like, I could lie and just say, it's great. Thank you for pushing me. I really worked on it. And I'm like,
Do you really think that I would believe you if you lied about that?
No. Now, I can lie. I mean, we're both performers. I mean, I'm an actress by...
Oh, really? I'm a terrible liar, though. I'm terrible. Like, you know it right away if I lie.
I forget which book. I think it's Don't Split the Difference, where they talk about how you can tell if someone's lying.
Never Split the Difference.
Yes, that one. I believe they talk about how you can tell how someone lies. I need to reread it or re-listen to it. Anyway,
I'm in the middle of listening to. I'm re-listening to it right now. I hadn't gotten to any lying, but so carry on. Okay, just so for our warners, so they can catch up. I had a really great conversation with a woman the other day. I was just making my sales calls and something came up and I called this friend of mine and we talked, and then she just gave me a blip of inspiration about starting my next book, which I've been procrastinating on lately. And I have a sticky note on my accountability mirror that's like, you will start your next book. And so I did the other day. I took 30 minutes. Literally, the way that I did it was sitting in carpool line waiting to pick up Roxy. I pulled up I started a new document in Google Drive and I wrote the first chapter. And so then I was all excited and I threw down the gauntlet and I was like, hey, Gina, you should start your book today and write for 30 minutes. And wouldn't it be cool if you and I both launched our new books together on the show one day, like at the end of this year or like in January of 2020. So then she promised me that she would.
Yeah, I didn't break that promise.
The evening is my most creative time. I'm going to work on that. And I was like, 30 minutes. Don't think about it too hard. Just do 30 minutes. It passes really quick.
And I'm recovering from multiple surgeries. I'm settling into my new house.
Excuse number two.
I had a glass of wine.
You're probably right, better even still with a glass of wine. So do you think, okay, we decided we'd talk about procrastination because
this is a very real moment. Number four.
Okay.
My husband's out of town and I have the house to myself.
That's a terrible excuse because that's the best time to write when you're alone. Okay.
But I was enjoying having him not here. It was really nice.
Yeah, having your house to yourself is great. And right now I have my own house and my fiance has his own house. And we are trying to sort out how to have one house as a married couple, but we can't figure it out. So I'm just going with the fact that it's nice to have my own house sometimes. I don't know. Maybe it could be like a win in a marriage to have two houses.
Somebody asked me that about you the other day, and I'm like, I think they're just going to keep separate houses. I'm like, you know, there's so much complexity to what's going on between the two of you and kids and work, you know, and all that. But I'm like, it might be for a better marriage.
You never know. That could be one of the keys to a successful marriage is having two houses.
Yeah.
Anyways, we digress. Let's stop procrastinating and get to the subject of procrastinating.
So today our topic is procrastination.
Yes. Well, this is a problem that I think everyone can relate to. And I think even the best of the best still procrastinate on some level about the things that they don't want to do. Or even what is really strange, the strangest phenomenon is something like your book, Gina, that you really do want to do. And you do have an excitement about doing it. And yet there's procrastination. Like, I know I'm super excited about your book because I know it will be amazing. It already is amazing because of your stories. And Jeffrey Gittimer and Jen, they're like super excited about this book coming. Like, everybody's excited, but yet, and yet, you procrastinate. So, I mean, it's got to be some sort of fear. Is it fear of success?
I think so. I think, in general, procrastination for anybody comes down to fear. Why do we put things off? Think about and we try to relate everything back to business and sales as well, but think about in sales. How often do we procrastinate that day of sales calls? Because there's like...
Oh, I do it so bad.
Right? Like there's everything else that has to happen and then you don't make a sales call. Like you just, you keep putting off everything that because everything else seems to get in the way. And so we joke about, you know, I can have a million excuses for why I didn't write the other night or last night. And then I was like, I'm going to have to commit to writing today because she's going to give it to me hard today. But I think at the end of the day, it comes down to some kind of fear of something. Is it fear of, I think often I fall into a fear of success. I know that sounds crazy. A fear of like something's going to get even bigger, which is going to be bigger things for me to deal with, which is going to be more responsibilities. Can I handle it? Am I good enough to do it? And then you go down this rabbit hole of like asking yourself a million questions. You're like, you know what? I'll just put that
out
right now.
I put this idea out to Gina the other day that she and I need to get together and have writing blocks. So I might have to do this, y'all, is get out there. And I've written a book. You can read my first attempt at a book on Amazon. It's called The Gift of Wreckage. And here's how I did it. I went to Costa Rica and it was amazing. And I went by myself. I had some friends that were there, but I was on my own and I would get up every morning and make my cup of coffee and go to the beach for a second, as Gina has the luxury of doing. And then I would come back and sit and write as the world woke up. And then a lot of my subject matter was kind of challenging, like difficult for me to process. So then I'd go sit on the beach the rest of the day and chill out. And I didn't finish my book while I was there that week, but I did get started. And this is the crucial thing about a project like a book or a big project that you've been planning and dreaming up, is the starting is the hardest part. And it's the part that we procrastinate. We procrastinate that initial push for whatever reason that we're, whatever excuses and justifications that were coming up in our head. And once we get started, then it just flows. It just comes. And then it's a matter of finishing. But I've done that on so many things that have been on my calendar or my to-do list where I'm like, oh God, I got to do this and it's going to take so long. And oh my God, like for example, editing your videos for your spontaneous selling video project that's also needs to get pushed out, Gina. So I was procrastinating editing the videos for you because I thought it would take forever. And then when I sat down and did it, it actually took me like 15 minutes. Like it was so fast. And I was like, oh, it didn't even take an hour of my time. So that's another thing that we need to put some pressure on Gina to get those, her amazing video course called Spontaneous Selling. That is coming soon.
Well, you didn't have to bring it up because I was going to bring it up and I was going to bring it up and say that's another thing I'm procrastinating on. Right. And so that's, I think, again, it's another situation where it's a fear of rejection. I mean, if you really boil it down, and which is something that we do in improv, we look for what's the universal truth of a situation. If you really boil it down, I'm like, what will people think of these videos?
Well, they're amazing, first of all. They are good enough. And here's the thing. And this is what I did with my book. And I actually kicked myself into just putting it out there when I listened through one of Grant Cardone's books. And he was talking about writing books. And he's written a bunch of bestsellers. And he said, man, the first book I wrote sucked. It just sucked. It was horrible. And there's all kinds of spelling errors and it was fucking terrible. And then I wrote it better the next time. And so when I heard that, I was like, that's it. So I don't think that my first book is amazing. I think that is amazing about it is that I started it and I finished it and I like have a cover and you can buy it. Like, and the other amazing thing is that some people did buy it. Look, like I felt and literally it does. When you put a product out there, it feels like you're very exposed and worried about the rejection. And I, this little book of mine is kind of like, and I've said this before, I always think of Ally Sheedy in The Breakfast Club, where she like dumps her purse out in the middle of the table and just exposes all of her crazy to the world. And that's what it kind of feels like, putting that book out there, like, oh my God, I just dumped my purse out in front of the world on Amazon. And I was terrified until I had somebody finally tell me, hey, you know, you're a good writer. And then I went, oh, okay. But it's scary. But the other thing is, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Okay, so no matter how, okay, so let's think back to some really successful people. It doesn't matter how amazing it is, somebody's still going to reject it and tell you it sucks. Like, no matter if it's the greatest thing that ever hit the planet, somebody else is going to be like, that sucks. She should have done this. Why'd she do that? Like, it's just going to happen.
Your faces are hysterical to watch. As you... Well, you know, at the end of the day, someone's going to reject. We see it in the socials, right? Someone's got an opinion about everything, and people are not going to like everything that you do, and someone's not going to like it. And as I always preach, they're not your ideal audience anyway if they don't like it. So screw them. But we're human, and we still have that need to be loved and included and part of something. And so any level of rejection can be difficult. Why do we avoid sales calls?
Because we don't want people to get mad at us and yell at us and hang up on us. Or just, what's crazy is that we're mostly worried about somebody saying no. And I was listening to, again, going back to Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. I was listening to it last night in the car on the way home. And he points out that no is the beginning of the negotiation. And so we should go for that no, because then we have somewhere to go with it, like, because it's a defense mechanism. But I need to go back to something for you, Gina. And this is something that you taught me when I was a coaching client. And I don't know if you remember this. So this was when Gina was coaching me, I was working as a fitness trainer primarily. And she said to me once, you said to me, Gina, once, people out there, you know how to do simple things. Let me see if I can say it better. You know how to do something super simple that's complicated to others. Example, bicep curl. A bicep curl is such a simple action, but there's a million ways to fuck it up. And I see it all the time at the gym, like people doing it in an incorrect form. But to me, like, the few basics are so, so very simple that I don't even have to think about it. But yet somebody out there needs to know. So like the topics and the all the content that you have in your spontaneous selling videos, to you, it's really basic, and it you worry about whether it'll be accepted or rejected, but it's great content that a lot of people want. And clearly, you've taught hundreds of people through Carolina Improv, so it's already successful. So you just got to, like, push through it.
You know, the, what's interesting, similar to that, so yesterday I went and I got a massage.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm getting ready to go on the road for a really long time, it seems like. I know this first trip is 2 weeks, and then I think I come back for 2 days and go back out. But I'm like on the road a lot. So I thought I'll go get a massage. I'll go do all those things you need to do as a woman to prepare for being on the road doing speaking gigs. And got my eyebrows and my lip waxed, also very important as a woman. And I have the same... I have the lady who waxes my eyebrows. She's amazing. Now, usually I get the waxing done first and then the massage. Well, whatever was up with their schedule, they did the massage first. And I'm like, oh, okay. I was slightly disappointed because I like to get to the waxing over because it hurts. And then you go into the massage and you relax. So whatever. So it was the other way around. And there's a reason why I'm telling this long version of the story. So there I am, laying on her little table to get my eyebrows and lips wax. And she knows my whole life story, everything going on with me. She is a devout Christian. She prays for me. I literally started crying on her table. And I think a lot of it was because I just had a massage. So all these toxins.
Massage will do that for, it'll make you, like a lot will come out emotionally.
Yeah, I like literally start, I go, I don't know why I'm crying. Because I'm just like telling her some of the things that were going on that were challenging for me personally. And I was telling her about the Rachel pushing me to write a book. And I was telling her how I'm like, oh, I don't really know if anybody would want to read that book. And she's like, the stuff that you have gone through is of value to someone else and they need it. They need your stories. And it was such a pivotal moment. Like, I never looked at it like that.
Exactly. And that's exactly the conversation that I had with this woman the other day. And she pointed out to me and I was like, oh yeah, it's true. Like, you really do have, and I've told you this and encouraged you in this way, that you've got some really great stories. In fact, we all have great stories. We've all been through things, and there's always something to share. It just is the courage to have the vulnerability to show it, and also to just get started.
So, yes, vulnerability is the key in anything that we are trying to do. So when we doubt ourselves, or we have imposter syndrome, or we're like, they don't want to buy that from me, or any of that, like, we're always selling something. We're selling ourselves, we're selling a book, or we're selling a widget. It's our vulnerability that will actually help us sell, because people are attracted to the vulnerability, and you don't know if they have similar pain points that you have had. And so when they can find a connection in pain points, and I'm just talking about general life pain, not like, what is the pain in your business so that we can help you fix your business? Screw that. Like, people don't want to hear that shit. Like, people want a direct relationship with another human outside of technology. And so that's going to be your key to connection in sales of anything, is that vulnerability part. But that was such an aha for me yesterday when I saw her, that I'm like, okay, it was almost as if she was making me feel bad for, like, how dare you hold these stories back.
And yet, 30 minutes was not set aside for when we get off of podcasting. Do you have 30 minutes? Just
you know, start. What?
Okay, you know? So there's like a few things. Here's the deal. The starting, so like we can talk about starting all day long, but the fact of the matter is you got to start. So, you know, you can go to something as simple as Mel Robbins' technique of the 5 second rule and counting down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, start. That's a great book. You guys should all read
it. That is a good book.
It's, I mean, because there's something psychological of just giving yourself something to start, like that countdown. And the other thing is I've started using it lately too. It's like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then activate whatever who is the person? Like, what does the person look like who would successfully write a book that everybody would want to read? And then become that person and write as that person. That person who already is crushing. The person we're afraid to be. Or we're afraid we're not able to be. Because you can fake that and just get started.
Okay, I got the message.
The message that I'm shoving down your throat is the message to our listeners today, though, too. Because somebody out there has a book that they've been thinking about reading. Somebody out there, they've been wanting to write, excuse me. Somebody out there has a project that they've wanted to get started. Somebody out there has an idea that they're procrastinating on because they're afraid it's not good enough, or they're afraid it's whatever. But you just got to get started. Like, I'm in the midst of still developing my software, The Closing Curve. And you guys, I knew jack shit about developing software when I came up with this idea. And of course I was terrified, but I was also super excited about the project. And so I just got started, and it may fail miserably. I don't know. You just don't know. Maybe, Like, it might fail. And along the way, you'll learn like how to do certain things and how to do it better. But if you never take a stab at it, then you just never get anywhere with it.
So, like, so hold on. Hold on. So the closing curve.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Honestly, what's up with it is that the project is on hold because of some financial constraints. And, you know, last night, actually, in the middle of the night, I got up and realized, this is my project. Why am I sitting here waiting for other people to take action? I need to get up and crack the whip. And I'm not sure why. I don't know if I would call that procrastination or I'm not sure. There's just a lot going on, but it's definitely it's moving slower than I would like it to. So that's why last night I got up and cracked the whip a little bit.
Okay. And I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but a little bit sort of. Because it feels
that's
good
fine.
To take the
I've been putting you on the spot all for like 20 minutes now.
I'm like, let's flip the table for a second. Different scenario. And I'm also bringing it up for our listeners because we all have different scenarios and different things that we're trying to accomplish that we procrastinate on that ultimately prevent us from making all the money we want to make. Right? So putting off my video series, which the videos were, well, they were shot in December before I broke my wrist. So they've existed. You've worked on them. Other people have worked on them. They are done. They are ready to go. I will say, though, that is moving forward. I have people I'm talking to that are taking it over and kajabaizing it and all that stuff. So it is just made a new word.
Kajabajizing.
Yeah, it's moving forward. So it's in the process of making it happen. But a lot of us hold off on things that we could be doing that would be making us more money. So you did have an aha, you got up and started cracking the whip. We don't know exactly what the slowdown is, but at the end of the day, you're the one who owns that project.
Exactly. And I mean, I was kind of pissed last night at myself and the committee in my head was coming down on me. And I was like, I just was like, nobody's going to move forward on a project that I created unless I force them to. And I, for some reason, allowed others to take the steering wheel. And apparently, you know, whoever was at the steering wheel just pulled the car over to the side of the road. So yeah. Now I'm kind of at the point of like, okay, I need to find out what's going on. The software is not complete. I do know that. I know that it is not quite ready. And anybody who's in software development knows that there's always delays and issues and complications, what have you. But the fact of the matter is that I need to get my roll up my sleeves and get a little bit in there more, even though I don't understand it. Certain things that are going on with it, and figure out what do I need to do. How do I just need to pivot with what's going on? Like what's going on? And that's my own fault.
So it's kind of a form of procrastination. We talked about why do we procrastinate, right? For me in the book, maybe it was fear. Sometimes making sales calls for people is fear of rejection. It could be for you the fear of the unknown of like when it comes to technology. It's so funny. Barb Royal laughed at us like, she laughed at the concept of the two of us doing a podcast because we're not as great at technology as she is, obviously. But maybe the fact that you have put it in someone else's hands to do it because they allegedly know more, right? And that's fine, too, because you have to be able to delegate to people who are more knowledgeable. But sometimes our fear of not understanding what's even going on, we're not getting involved enough to delegate properly, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, and I think that's what I've been guilty of for the last couple of weeks is that I haven't been all over people. And so and that's why in my message to the team, I was like, I took a position of humility of like, I'm sorry that I haven't been more communicative. And let's see what's going on. Because you know, they may have just thought that it became not important to me.
Or, well, yeah, to an extent, right? Squeaky wheel gets the oil, and they're probably working on other projects. And you're the project.
Of course they are.
You're the project that's not saying anything. So they're like, well, we'll work on her stuff when she says something.
Exactly.
And so when it comes to delegating and leading and managing people, we have to check in with them and communicate. If you're familiar with Patrick Lencioni, and I can't remember which book it was in, I think it was The Advantage. He talks about communication, and he talks about the importance of repeating yourself. Repeat, repeat, repeat is what he says. And you have to like repeat the same message many times for it to come across. And I know as a younger leader, I would get frustrated. I'm like, how many times do I have to tell someone to do something? Like, they should have heard it the first time. But the point is people hear it when they want to hear it. And same thing in sales. You might go after a prospect that says no, and so you never go back. Well, go back. Because if you repeat your value 3 or 4 or 5 more times, they might finally hear the value. So same with like managing your tech team. You have to stay on top of them and be the squeaky wheel.
Yep. I was there's a great phrase that Tom Ferry likes to spit out. Follow up with people until they buy or die.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that great? Because, I mean, they could figuratively pass away, or they could, or the just it could die. You know, it's just such a great phrase.
It would be cool to get him on the show.
It would be great to get him on the show. He just started a podcast.
Hey, this is one thing I've learned. Just ask people. Because, oh, that was what I think I was doing instead of writing. That's exactly what I was doing. I was emailing like every possible high-level person to be on our show. That's what I was doing the other night.
Well, see, now that's an interesting point about procrastination, because I can relate. The other day, I was in the middle of my sales call block, which I have a block of time now that I make my sales calls to be consistent. And I was like futzing around with some other thing. And I actually said to myself, you're doing a really nice job of procrastinating, Rachel. Put this down and get on the phone. I mean, because we will. I think that's that's like a procrastination technique that people utilize, is like, oh, this could really help me out. It's so important to my business and to my whatever. Instead of doing the activity that probably is actually more crucial to your business, example, like dicking around with something in my kitchen instead of making my sales calls, like the sales calls are crucial to my bottom line and my business. And yet I'm like dicking around, like, you know, and, you know, you're over here, I mean, legitimately sending some amazing messages to some high level people. And you could have done that after committing 30 minutes to starting your amazing book.
It's true. But hey, Chris Voss's people answered me.
I would be so, so honored if he came on our show. And all these people, I mean, the thing it seems like about podcasts is that people like to get on other people's podcasts, and it's reciprocal, and it'd be amazing. But coming back to you procrastinating by doing that, I mean, I wonder, why do you think that we do that? It's just, it's a crazy psychological thing.
Okay. I have an idea. I think part of it is the, you know, we're now in a world of technology where quick response fills a void for us, right? Like it's like a drug. The quick response to something.
Dopamine.
It's the dopamine. Yeah, absolutely. Because reaching out to a variety of people to be on our show and getting, and I got some fast responses, and I was like, ooh, right. That feels successful. That feels like I accomplished something. Writing a book is a long process with no dopamine in it.
Well, and this is the thing, is that most of the things that are really worthwhile and really matter are the things that are hard and the things that take a long time.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And that is the trap that we have fallen into as a society in general, is it's so much easier to text somebody or Facebook message somebody than to get on the phone and have a conversation with them. And even though there's something ridiculous like a 98% response rate to a Facebook message right now, that doesn't create a relationship. That creates a keyhole opening, to start. And we just, it's that instant gratification thing. It's very dangerous that we all are victim to, because that whole dopamine bit of checking and seeing how many people liked a photo and checking to see if so-and-so answered and checking our email just to see what's there. It's a big waste of time, and all the high performers will agree that the hard shit's where it's at.
Yeah. Okay. So, what are some tips that we can give to our listeners? Because we are queens of procrastination. What are some tips that we can give?
Well, there's one that I started using, and it's called, the app? Flipped. FLIPD app. And there's a bunch of apps out there, but this one will lock your apps, like lock you out of Facebook. There's a lot of them out there. This one will lock you out of your apps for a certain period of time so that you have to be focused on important tasks. And that is a great, great thing, because you guys, how many times have you done this right here? I do it all the time. I'm working on something, or I'm in the middle of my sales call block and I'm like, oh, let me just check on Facebook and see if anybody liked my post. or let me just see if there's anything going on Facebook. Let me just get on here for a second. I just like to take a little break for a second and get on Facebook. Like, fucking ridiculous. What the hell? And we all do it. So just, I'm not any different than anybody. But you can use an app like that to shut it off. You can also, I highly recommend, the 5-second rule is an incredible book. I think you can get it on audio as well.
You can.
I know you can, because that's the only way I read books right now.
Yeah.
And in a nutshell, the 5-second rule is just, if there's something you're afraid to start or procrastinating, just count down from 5 to 1 and get started. And then the third tip that I would give you is to schedule stuff out and really stick to your schedule. So when it comes to your block of time where your sales calls are happening or whatever important task, then shut everything else down and start, and then flip on the Flipped app.
The first thing that comes to mind for me is, you're going to love this one, Rachel, accountability. Maybe have a personal accountability partner, maybe someone who checks in on you and says, did you do? And then they keep you on kind of like, and I've already given Rachel permission to nag me, because I need someone to nag me. And it's not like a fun job to be a nagger, but find someone who's willing to be a nagger that's going to nag on you. That's so funny. Keith isn't on the show, but Keith has a goal of writing a book. And
we could have 3 books at once then.
Oh my God.
Time to nag him.
Well, like a year or so ago, maybe it was like a year into knowing each other, he asked me to push him on it. And so I started to push him on it. But then I felt like I was getting some resistance, so I stopped pushing him. So maybe we need to revisit that.
Actually, so it's funny that you call me a nag, because I actually was hired in a previous job. I was hired to nag. I was hired to basically be someone's work wife and nag them on certain things. And I was very good at it, because I understood that this particular person was very busy and would get 1,000 other things coming across his desk per day. And when I needed something, I would just nag on him continuously in a really nice way. Hi, friendly reminder that I need this today. Or friendly reminder, hey, have you done this? It feels like it's annoying, but if it's, you know, there's one thing about nagging, if you're like nagging somebody and in your relationship or whatever, you know what I mean? That incessant nagging that happens in couples. But if it's like a true nag for a purpose, the way that I'm trying to nag you, because I know that the result will be positive. Like negative nagging is like,
yeah,
why don't you take the trash out? You never take the trash out. You know, like, and people do that too. But the result is positive, and you know that you want the result. And that's why it's good to have, like, you know, a nagging partner, an accountability partner.
An accountability partner who can both nag and cheerlead you, right? So it's someone who knows your talent and is able to lift you up when you can't lift yourself up because you don't see it, right? So when I have many people around me going, gosh, I wish you would write a book, and you hear it enough, and people keep saying that they would want to read it, or they see the value in whatever it is you do, you have to take those cues and listen to them. So having that partner that is willing to lift you up, but also be tough on you, it's called a coach.
Let me lift you up right now. You guys, Warners, Gina's book, when she finishes it, I'm telling you, it's going to be so good because she has so many good stories. Like, Gina, you have so many good stories, and these stories you have refined over years and years of telling them in your coaching scenarios and workshops and in speeches. Your stories are already polished and ready to go. And when they're in written form and they're able for people to access on their own time, it's going to be amazing. And that's one great reason you need to get fucking started.
Aww. All right. Who can turn that down? Well, that also ties into imposter syndrome a little bit, right? Because we've already kind of talked about this, beating a dead horse of, like, you don't necessarily see the value in that, but other people see the value in it. We talk about when we do improv shows and the performers get sometimes, I don't want to say annoyed, disappointed when the audience, every night they get the same suggestions from the audience, but it's a different audience. And so I have to say, hey, this audience is saying it for the first time, giving you that same suggestion of skydiving as an activity, and you're tired of doing a comedy scene about it. It's the first time that they're putting it out there, so it's new to them. So that's something to keep in mind. It's new to your audience, even if you don't feel like it is. Whatever totally. It is you do. So I'm trying to think if I had any others. So it's the accountability part. And I guess it's really like valuing yourself. And if you can't see your value, have someone remind you what your value is.
I can do that.
Yeah. We could start. That's it. We could start a personal accountability business. Now, I know that people have been asking what else we have to offer. And we're like, we need to know, what do you want, right? Listeners? What do you want, Warners?
Well, and here's the thing, is you can't always believe everything that you feel. When we feel, and that is not Rachel's words of wisdom. That is somebody else that I gleaned from a book lately. We feel like we're not worthy. We feel afraid that we're going to be rejected. We feel like we're imposters. But you can't believe everything that you feel. Because the truth is that you have lived through situations, Gina, that people need help navigating, as have I. And they want tools. They want to understand how someone could make it through that and come out on the other side successful.
Yeah.
They want to know how they can be better. And they, you know, they want to know. And even if it's just a couple of people, there's so many people in the world, it's guaranteed that whatever and in fact I know the stuff that you're about to write in your amazing book is that people are going to eat it up with a spoon
from your lips to the world.
Yes.
Well, it's a good reminder, and that was another kind of motivator behind starting this podcast show. A lot of what we wanted to do with this show is about taking the personal and mixing it into business, because at the end of the day, we all have to go out and make money and close deals, and then life gets in the way. And that's just a reality, that life shows up and impacts what you're doing in business and in your jobs. And how do you navigate? How do you blend those two and, like, come out of it successfully? So I think our personal stories, everyone's personal stories, people can benefit from them because we've managed to navigate. You know, you look at people who, you know, their parents are sick, or they have a sick kid, or they're sick, or a spouse lost a job. Like, there's so many different things that come up that impact people and they have great success stories coming out of it. So we can't let those things cause us to procrastinate any further. Those are my closing notes on say no to procrastination.
Well, that and also acceptance that procrastination is a behavior that all humans face, and it's okay. Just know that it's happening and try to utilize some of these tools that we presented to you today to move past it, because it's procrastination comes up all the time. Every time you reset, you just got to just go for it. Fear not. Like, instead of thinking of the worst thing that could happen, think of the best thing that could happen. What if you didn't make the call and whoever it was on the other end of the line was ready to pull the trigger on a $1 million deal with you? Like, what if the good stuff? What if the best case scenario?
Yeah. That's a good way to look at it. I'm going to giggle at, we talked about this the other day, the publisher who had rejected me via email. And this was based on a different book outline. This was my book on improv for business. And she's like, nobody really cares about a book like that. And it was a much longer kind of response to that. And I was sort of okay with it because I wrote that outline so long ago. And while that book will happen eventually is more of a tool for people in business, I'm realizing that's not really the book I'm writing. The book I'm writing is more personal, that I've avoided writing because I didn't think there was value to it. And I see it now because you keep reminding me. But she came
subtly at that.
But she came back with she emailed me again. And I wanted to say, bless your heart, I feel so bad for you. She's like, I just wanted to make sure I answered you. So she forgot that she had actually answered my email and then rejected me a second time, a second email. But it was like, even the narrative was a little bit different this time. And it was kind of interesting because I'm going to keep both of those emails and just, you know, she had like two sets of reasons why she was rejecting me. And I'm like, I just tried to stay as professional as possible. I'm like, thank you. You've already responded to this email. Really appreciate it.
Well, you should print those two emails out and put them on your wall because you're two steps closer. J.K. Rowling,
yes,
who wrote Harry Potter, in case you did not know, she was rejected 6 or 7 times before.
Yeah.
And I could have that number wrong, but she was rejected several times before somebody was like, yeah, let's give this Harry Potter thing a try.
Yeah.
So you should hang it up and wait till you get like 4 more rejections and then you know you're close.
Yeah. And again, it's true sales. So the moral of the story is don't procrastinate because of your fear of rejection. That is the moral of the story here. So people are going to reject you. So you have to keep on keeping on. You have to keep pushing on. You have to keep doing those things that feel hard and feel like they're the long game, because eventually they do pay off. Sort of like starting my first podcast, The Pivotal Leader, which, by the way, is coming back to life.
Yes.
By the time this podcast airs, The Pivotal Leader should be back up. So you could go check out thepivotalleader.com. That show, I interview people from the C-suite and CEOs, and we've had some really continuous interest, even though we've been on hiatus. Michael Hyatt's people have called, Zig Ziglar's son has called. Rachel's like, what, we want him on our show. So we'll see if we can get him on both shows. So that podcast, right, that I created that as a long game for building business for Pivot 10, and it's worked, but it was a long game. And so I have to remind myself that most things are a long game. So, and it was a really long-winded answer to the moral of the story there. So I think we've beat
awesome.
I think we've beat this one like a dead horse, Rach. I think you've beat me up enough, so I got it. I mean it with love. It's all
it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
I was going to say, you know, if you really want to hold me accountable, you could be like a mom and like we could keep a Zoom recording going on video where you check in to see if I'm actually sitting at my desk writing.
No, I'm going to go with, I'm going to have to come over there with my laptop and I'll work on my book while you work on yours. And I'll have like a writing crop that I can reach across and flap you. You start doing something else.
People would pay good money to see you crack out a whip at me. That would be fun. All right. I think it's time for us to wrap up the show. Thanks to all of our Warners for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About Procrastination. That's a hard thing to say. To connect with me directly or learn more about Pivot 10 Results or Carolina Improv, you can visit GinaTremarco.com to find all of that information.
And to connect with me, Rachel Tipton, visit theclosingcurve.com or follow me on social as Rachel on Real Estate and find all of our social media links, mine, Gina, and Keith, the man behind the mic, who's not with us today, at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. And lastly, there's some great free downloads there.
And hey, we need more reviews. Reviews really help us get found and ranked. And if you could get on iTunes or wherever it is you listen to your podcast, if you can get on and give us we really love 5-star ratings. Does anyone really give less than 5? I guess maybe, because some people just don't get on and do ratings. But if you can get on there and give us a review and a rating, we will talk about it on the show. We like to read reviews on kind of like every other show we do that. So go and do that. And remember, for the best relationships, we like to tell you to keep it real, raw, and relevant.
And a little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
Bye, Rach.
Bye, Warners. Oh, bye, Gina. Bye, Warners.
See ya. Bye.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah. It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.